Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr. Usually I say I'm broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. But today I'm actually broadcasting from beautiful tropical Costa Rica. Earlier today I was on a mountaintop where there butterflies were migrating, and I was surrounded by butterflies. I looked across this valley. It was so beautiful. And then these clouds rolled in. I felt like I was in sort of some sort of a cloud heaven. Anyway, I've left that now to another place. The clouds have moved in again, but I'm surrounded by tropical forest now, and the butterflies are still out there. Anyway, I'm so glad you could all tune in today. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular shows in the Seattle area, and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 100,000 listeners in over 60 countries. I'm actually today, as I said, I'm broadcasting from beautiful Costa Rica, and I want to thank my friends so much, Mary and Elias, for sponsoring me here, my friend Eric, who's here, and Mitch Kohayashi, who's doing work for the Modal Peace Project and giving some wonderful presentations. I also will be giving some presentations this weekend and next week on humanity's beautiful, bright future with messages from my dear friends, Professor Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Nikola Tesla, Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. Moroto, and the Galactic Alliance. One of the things I like about Costa Rica is that they completely abolished the military in 1948, and today they devote about 25% of their GDP to education and another 25% of their land to beautiful national parks. Costa Rica is also a democracy in Latin America with a high standard of living, and I'm so happy to be here today. During the first hour, I'll be interviewing Lenny Revelle. Lenny's on the line now. Lenny, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Good, good. We'll get to you here in just a minute, Lenny. But Lenny's a fascinating, famous, and extremely talented musician from New York. He has some wonderful spiritual views, which he'll be sharing with us, including cleaning up and stopping chemtrails with pyramids. I'm really interested and excited to talk to him about that. He has been called the next Elton John. He's been playing music and songwriting since he was 9 years old. Imagine that. During the second hour, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll be interviewing another fascinating gentleman named Ray Zukowski. Ray's a fascinating and amazing certified hypnotherapist, and since 2001, he's been helping many people with hypnosis and time travel into the future. I like Ray personally, not only because he shares the first name of my father, who was also named Ray, but I also underwent a session with him last week where he took me into the fifth dimension. I time traveled 2, 5, and 8 years from now. I'll be sharing with all of you what I saw in the future. And I think this interview should be truly out of this world, and I hope you can listen. I want to thank everyone so much for their donations and support, especially Faison and Shirley in beautiful Florida, Jan Rosini in Honda, California, Anita in beautiful Dublin, Ireland, my dear friend Marco and his wonderful family in Helsinki, Finland, Emma Louise and Jan Eric in Norway, Randy and Jessica in beautiful Mercer Island, Washington, Darren in Olympia, my good friend Rod Shastri in Toronto, Canada, and everyone around the world who's helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma and Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much better and happier place. Someone just handed me a cup of wonderful Costa Rican coffee, and I just want to thank them so much for that. The coffee here is wonderful. It's very tasty. So here's a cheers to the coffee in Costa Rica. With that, I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support. My good friends in the Moto office in Tokyo, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting the show, my angelic and earthly family, and KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I also have a new production assistant named Brooke Adams from Los Angeles, who's been helping me find new guests, and I really appreciate her help in introducing me today to Lenny Revelle and also to Julie Kelly and Nora Harrod several weeks ago. If you'd like to be on my show, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'm always welcome new guests and program suggestions. I want to thank everyone's support so much for this program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Out of This World 1150 and just click on it. I also have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me in the United States on my cell at 509-750-9793 or toll free at 1-888-879-8339 in the United States and Canada. Out of This World Television is also now broadcasting three times a week on Comcast Channel 22 here in the lower Puget Sound area on Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m., Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m., Saturdays at 7 p.m., all times Pacific Standard Time. These TV programs are also available on YouTube under either TED or Theater Mar or Out of This World. With that, I'd like to mention quickly some wonderful upcoming events. From June 22nd to the 27th, I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, which is in Northern California. I consider it the root chakra of planet Earth. It's located about 323 miles north by northeast from San Francisco. It has many powerful energy vortexes. And last year, I took another group of people to Mount Shasta, where six people actually physically went into Telos and Shambhala, the ancient Lemurian cities beneath the mountain. Other people actually met people from Telos on the mountain, and several people were taken aboard benevolent UFOs from the Hollow Earth. Others met Adama and Saint Germain, and still others interacted with Sasquatch. Everyone had wonderful mystical experiences. I'm in, and I hope you can come. If you'd like to come, send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or just give me a call at 509-750-9793. On the trip, we'll be also meeting with Diane Robbins, the author of many books on Telos and the Hollow Earth, and Michiko Hayashi. Michiko is the global director of the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, and she'll be giving a very special spiritual water ceremony to clean up the earth and clean up the radiation at Fukushima at the water springs at the Mount Shasta City Park on Sunday, June 25th at 5 p.m. Also that day on June 25th from 1 to 4 p.m., she'll be giving a presentation on Dr. Emoto's Messages from Water. The event's free, and I hope you can come. With that, I'd like to ask everyone to say these prayers for Fukushima. I know it helps, and if you can, please repeat after me. Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we thank you. And water, we love you. Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we thank you. And water, we love you. And once last time, water, we are sorry. Water, we please forgive us. Water, we thank you. And water, we love you. And you know what's funny? Right now, I'm in this house in the mountains here, and it is pouring down rain. It has just started coming in buckets. It's the rainy season here in Costa Rica. And it's interesting how I just did the water song, and we've got now buckets of rain coming in. You know, I think we're all powerful spiritual beings, and I know our good thoughts and prayers will really help Fukushima and the world as well. Focusing on Fukushima is not a negative thing, because all of my angel friends and my dear friends in the Galactic Alliance have all told me that together our energies are helping the Galactics to clean up the radiation from Fukushima, not only in Japan but across the Pacific and around the world. So I want to thank you so much. And with that, I'd like to introduce all of my listeners worldwide to Lenny Revelle. Lenny, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it very much.
Wonderful. It's so good to have you on. You've got a long biography, but I'll make it a little short. I just want to say that you're a fascinating, famous, and extremely talented musician from New York. You've been called the next Elton John, and you've been playing music and songwriting since you were 9 years old. You've played at many different art festivals and music events. And what was interesting, in 2016, you came across pyramid technology from a friend that was based on the work of William Reich and Patrick Flanagan, and you decided to build a unique technology, a pyramid involving sacred geometry and what you call the Casimir effect. And I'd love to get on that as well. But anyway, Lenny, welcome to the program. I'm so happy you could come on today.
Thanks very much, man. I appreciate it a lot.
Hey, my pleasure. My pleasure. Lenny, how did you ever get started in your musical career? Did you just start at age 9, decided you wanted to become a musician?
Well, what happened was, when I was a kid, my mom used to take me to Sunday school.
Uh-huh.
And after Sunday school, the kids would get together in the basement and play together, and the adults would drink coffee, donuts, and socialize. And I would always slip away to the Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, Lenny, I can hear you. Are you okay, Lenny? Lenny, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good.
Something happened with the phone. I don't know what it is, but...
All right. Well, we can hear you, my friend. Don't worry.
Okay. So anyways, I was saying is we used to, after Sunday school, I would the kids would get together in the basement and play, and the adults would get together with coffee and donuts and socialize, and I would slip off to the chapel and tinker on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a while, and then after my mom would be looking for me, and she couldn't find me, with the other kids, so she'd always find me in the chapel. So after about a couple of years of this going on, she was driving me home one day. She says, "Would you like piano lessons?" And I said, "Sure." So I started it. I was 9 years old, roughly 8 going into 9.
Uh-huh.
And then I did that on and off for like, I don't know, a long time, maybe over a decade. And around 1992, I discovered Elton John.
Uh-huh.
When he was playing with Axl Rose in the Music Awards, there was playing November Rain, and I didn't know who he was.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, and everybody was looking at me like I had a third head growing out of my shoulder or something. So I did some research. I ended up liking his stuff. Then I ended up loving his stuff. And then I said, well, this is where I want to take my career. I want to try and go in that direction with my music because I'm already writing stuff, you know, and he just pretty much gave me a direction to go with it. And then people said, well, you know, Billy Joel, that came later. So at first I didn't really care for him, but he kind of grew on me. And then I got into Tori Amos and then Jerry Lee Lewis and then a lot of these piano rock stars, and they all kind of helped form a base and a direction. And then I came out with a couple CDs, which are available on cdbaby.com. If you go to cdbaby.com/Lenny Revell and then Lenny Revell 2. I got a couple CDs out. So I did that, and I went to New York City, I think in the fall of 98, for college originally. I did that for a little bit, and then I went back in 2006, I pushed the CD really hard, and I came out with a song I was trying to get on for Spider-Man 3, because that movie was coming out. And what had happened was they'd had this law, do not accept unsolicited material. So I couldn't get it in the movie. But the chick that was working for me at the time, she's kind of my agent, she went and actually found the guy that was in charge of all the movie theaters throughout the country, all the Lowe's, Regal, AMC. We worked out a deal, and he put it before and after the movie. And all other movies during May of 2007, I believe it was.
Uh-huh.
And so over 6,000 theaters heard that song. It's called Who Am I? And that's on the CD, too. That kind of really gave me a lot of notoriety. And then I did other things, too. I was part of, in Buffalo, the first time they had the Colored Musicians Club, which was kind of a hub for all the black musicians that came through in the early 20th century. Gillespie and Nat King Cole and a lot of these jazz blues guys, and then also the Buffalo Hall of Fame, Musicians Hall of Fame. We got it all together. We brought both white and black music together for the first time in history. So we did that, and it was a big event. You know, got a lot of press. So we did really well with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done charity events before and after since then. And then I got into the spiritual and healing stuff a little bit later on.
Wonderful, wonderful. You had some fascinating things you told me the other day when we spoke about using pyramids to clean up chemtrails.
Well, chemtrails, chemtrails are an interesting phenomenon because they have a multitude of reasons why they're being sprayed. I mean, a lot of people, they call them contrails, and they're not, because all you have to do is take a soil sample or a water sample after a heavy spray day, and you can clearly see that the heavy metals, aluminum, and the barium salts and strontium levels are going through the roof. that weren't there before. Mm-hmm. And people are coming down with more gallons. So I came across a YouTube video with a friend. He was actually talking about clearing chemtrails out of the sky using these technologies but from Wilhelm Reich and things that started out, who built a cloud buster. It's a device with several pipes attached to a water line. And then as the technology advanced and evolved, there was a guy named Don Croft who came up with a thing called a chembuster. Mm-hmm. And that was basically a bunch of copper pipes sticking inside of a bucket full of resin and metal shavings. Mm-hmm. And when they had each pipe had a double terminated quartz crystal in them. And what would happen was these energies would be directed to the sky, break them up. But then another thing was with the pyramids. I got into that after, and he mentioned to me how the Orgon or Orgonite pyramids, I make my own called Prana pyramids, they have a sacred geometry to them because of the cone shape. And a lot of people, if they're interested in finding out more about this technology, you could look up GaiaTV.com. And David Wilcock has an entire series on pyramid technology. It's fascinating. Anything with pyramids or cone shapes, what happens is the ether or the universal energy and gravity would start at like kind of like an upside down vortex.
Right.
And it would start kind of like spinning slowly, but as it got up the shaft, it would concentrate and get stronger. And then when it releases through the capstone, it would create a double helix vortex.
Oh, wow.
Which is the geometry of our DNA. Mm-hmm. And a person with Kirlian photography actually took a picture and captured a pyramid with a double helix signature coming off of it.
Right. Wow.
And yeah, and when this supposedly hits the chemtrails, it comes off with negative ions, which chemtrails are positive ion charged. Mm-hmm. So it would actually start to heal and break up a lot of the atmosphere, especially if you're using Orgon. Orgon resets the atmosphere. And there's other variations of this technology out there, like you're set released, and they poison them. So that's usually what happens when you come out with something that can do something like that, because you're a threat to the system.
Well, I've had other people on my show about chemtrails. Dane Winnington is a wonderful guy. He used to be an engineer at Bechtel. He lives in Mount Shasta, of all places. Mm-hmm. And he's done extensive chemical analysis on chemtrails and found that generally, they're composed of aluminum, barium, strontium, and sulfur, among other things.
Yes.
And also, they often contain biological agents. And there is also evidence that part of the chemtrails are being funded by Bill Gates in an effort to decrease the U.S. population and other populations. So there's a lot going on, and I think that what's happening is that they're trying to terraform the planet for military purposes and also for other purposes as well. But it's not good for us. I don't think it's a good thing for us to have the chemtrails. Certainly, we've never voted on it, you know, and yet they subject it to us.
Well, they wouldn't ask you for a vote on it because it's at your expense.
Right.
So anything that's at your expense is often imposed on you tyrannically. I mean, it's like the vaccines. You got the vaccine, which is part of it. You know, vaccines, then you got chemtrails, then you got GMOs, you got EMF through wireless technology, and then you had fluoride in the water.
Right.
All of that are different pieces to the same puzzle with the same one main goal.
Right.
You know, so the same people that are usually against chemtrails are against mandatory vaccinations, they're against GMOs and fluoride and of course, EMF. So we're all on the same team. A lot of people are organic, pro-organic. They grow organic gardens. They want to clean and heal the planet. And, of course, we have these psychopaths at the top that all they care about is them. They don't realize if you kill everybody off, who's going to buy anything from you? And if you want to rule everything by money, well, there's going to be nobody left.
Well, that's a good point. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, I have to tell you I'm an eternal optimist. And the frequency of the planet shifted. It shifted last year for tens of thousands of years, Lenny. It was at 7.8 hertz, and last September it doubled to almost 14 hertz. Christmas time it went up to 40 hertz, and then finally just 2 weeks ago it went up to over 120 hertz. And I have a hypnotist coming on my next hour, actually, Ray Zukoski, from Tacoma. He's a wonderful man, and he does time travel as part of his therapy. And last week he did a session with me, Lenny, where he took me 2, 5, and 8 years ahead. And in 2 years' time, the hertz of this planet had jumped to 800 hertz.
Wow. Yeah, that's he's talking about the Schumann resonance, right?
Right, the Schumann resonance, that's right, yeah.
Yes. A lot of different spiritual people have different interpretations of what that means, but I think, in my honest opinion, and I could be wrong, that the Schumann resonance is supposed to be at its original frequency because it's the normal default frequency of nature. Mm-hmm. And that's the beat of your mother's heart. Right. That's the magnetic vibration from the planet that keeps everything calm and relaxed and harmonized. So when you speed things up, it actually stresses out the cells in the body.
Mm-hmm.
It actually causes a lot of disharmony.
Right.
So when you have things like organite or pyramids and things like that and crystals, those help along with the natural cycle of the earth to balance things back out. And of course, meditation and yoga, all these are all different aspects to help bring things back into balance, because people are way, way too stressed out. They're getting really, really angry and over defensive nowadays about things. And that's partially in due because of public direction being, public opinion being formulated by the media to create fear in people, to get them stressed and angry, because you can't control a population that's calm and spiritual. You can only control them if they're body identified and ego identified, and you're so focused on body superficialities, you're going out of your way to stick up and defend for things like racism or this or inequalities, and
right.
It's just too much emphasis on the outside and not enough on spiritual development. And people need to meditate more, they need to do more yoga, they need to eat a more balanced raw plant-based diet, because that'll all help calm down the system. You're eating meat that's not good, because when you kill meat or kill the animal, the stress hormone is released that when you consume it, it affects your psychology and makes you restless and paranoid, more angry.
Yeah.
So when you eat vegetables, it kind of calms things down more, and fruit and stuff like that.
You know, I have to compliment you, Lenny. Your friend Brooke in Los Angeles said you were a fascinating spiritual guy, and you know what? You are, and I'm so enjoying this conversation.
Thank you very much. Brooke's a great person.
Yeah, no, you're more than just your music. But you know what? I just sent a file over to Eric, my producer, and we could. I got the song ready to play. Who Am I? Would it be okay if I played a few minutes for a first few minutes of that?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, Eric, could you please play the first couple of minutes of Lenny's song "Who Am I," and then we'll come right back to his interview.
My best friend's father.
so much, Eric. Lenny, thank you. That's a beautiful song, but there must be a story behind it.
Well, like I said, it was based off of the second Spider-Man movie, the original that came out in, I think it was 2004, Spider-Man 2. Uh-huh. And it's based off of what happened in the story about how his girlfriend was almost married to J. Jonah Jameson's son, who was an astronaut. And of course, Harry was his best friend's father. It was his best friend. He died because he tried killing him when he was the Green Goblin in the first movie. Mm-hmm. So all these are elements that were put in, and basically just asking himself who he was the whole time, because he was struggling to try and balance out who he was as Peter Parker versus his identity as Spider-Man, you know, and just seeing who he is. And it's both a curse and a gift to have this kind of power and this kind of responsibility.
Well, you know, I want to get back now to your – I want to give the audience a taste of your beautiful music. But, Lenny, I wanted to ask you, you mm-hmm. talked about eating meat, and that's fascinating. Could you cover that some more, please?
Well, yes. I'm a student of Paramahansa Yogananda, so I'm a Kriya yogi, and part of his teaching was the food you eat has a vibrational frequency that matches a certain kind of consciousness. So when you have foods that are very heavy and very that cause suffering or processed or anything that's low vibration, it tends to pull the consciousness down to the lower chakras, where you are more identified with body, more identified with fear, more identified with primal basic instincts. And if you eat lighter, which is closer towards raw fruits and raw vegetables, a lot of green juicing and things like that, you are putting a lot of higher vibrational frequencies into the body, so it supports consciousness, because greens especially are the highest nutrient-dense foods on the planet, and chlorophyll especially in the greens has a thing called ORMIS in it, which is orbitally rearranged monoatomic elements, and these are highly rejuvenating superconductive minerals that act as an interface between consciousness and matter. It's found in volcanoes and volcano lava, because that comes from the center of the Earth, where there is supposedly a black hole that relays from planet to planet and star to sun and sun to sun. And that allows for consciousness to slow down in frequency, coagulate, and actually solidify subatomically into matter. So when you drink or eat foods that are high in ORMIS, which are mostly like the greens and the fruit and stuff like that, you plug into your energy meridians and your chakra points and your pineal gland, and they highly superconduct the energy grid in the body. And that's the reason why you see a lot of these really high-level spiritual Hindu yogis sitting up in the Himalayan mountains meditating 12, 14 hours a day. They developed their mental power so much because they're eating these foods that are highly regenerative and highly full of ORMIS. Well, because they're sitting inside of a mountain, and the mountain is a scalar wave generator, a scalar wave antenna. And scalar wave is basically the quantum energy field that actually moves faster than the speed of light. So you're sitting inside these mountains that are full of ORMIS. You're digging out the shape of them are in shape of like pyramids and cones, because they got points to them. So they're all bringing in that energy that's constantly swirling around these yogis. And then they're drinking and eating the foods up there, the plants, and then the water that forms springs up there. Now, the water, a lot of people know, actually a lot of it travels up the rock, not by hydrologic pressure, but because it's full of ORMIS. ORMIS is also anti-gravitational. So these minerals are forcing themselves up the rock, forming springs on the top, and the yogis drink this water. Now we understand why Jesus Christ, when he traveled out to India in his missing years, he studied under a lot of these Himalayan yoga masters, and he was eating and drinking all these same foods. He was jacking up his body with all these superconductive minerals, wow, eating these vegetables and fruits, and it really aided his energy output so he can actually do these miracles in addition to his training.
That is incredible. You know, the Chinese government has imprisoned many Tibetan monks. And you know one of the problems they have when they put these Tibetan monks who are very highly spiritual in their prisons?
What happens?
Well, they walk through the walls and they run away. The Chinese government doesn't know how to handle it. They incarcerate these people. Of course, the Tibetans are terribly politically persecuted in China, And they lock them up in prisons, and then they just simply, many of the advanced monks simply just walk out, walk through walls and run away. So it's a bit of
That's all the same stuff. You know, it's basically seeing the world as an illusion. And when you can when you can actually realize that through an experience rather than just conceptualize it by understanding it rationally, then you can actually see that everything is made of energy and atoms and nothing is really solid. So these Buddhist or Tibetan monks have raised their awareness to that level, to where Jesus Christ or Buddha could do these things. And that's the evolution of humankind, to get to that level for all souls that are experiencing a human existence, to get to the level of a Jesus Christ or a Buddha, to be able to do things like that, because then the illusion is gone.
Right, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think we're all headed toward to the fifth dimension, actually, fourth and then fifth. And with this human residence increasing, I think it's really and it's challenges, of course, but in many ways it's a wonderful time to be alive.
There's some people that say we've chosen to come here at this time to assist humanity into its next phase. So, you know, all of these things are all different aspects, like the pyramids, the food, meditation. These are all different aspects of the totality of developing a harmonious mind, because there's an over-excessive preoccupation with valuing a person's intelligence based off of their ability to regurgitate information that they hear in school.
Right.
So there's too much of a focus on the male and not enough about the intuitive female side of the brain, and that leaves a person imbalanced. So when they go into life, they can't relate to women. Women can't relate to men. They tend to be overly aggressive and confused. And many people take the drugs and outside distractions to kind of make up for the hole inside their heart. And when the reality is, they have to spiritualize themselves. And they have to do that through diet, because the diet supports the frame of the being that the soul expresses itself through. So if you're gunning it up with crap, then it's very hard for the soul to actually express itself where you can maximize your full development.
You know, Lenny, those are very profound words of wisdom, and I agree with you 1,000%. Thank you so much for sharing that. Because my next question would be, people often come up to me and they said, Ted, I'm just one person. How can I make this world a better place? And I was going to ask you that now. When people come up to you now, what do you tell them if they want to make the world a better place?
I usually make their head spin when I answer them, because what I'm going to tell you now is so incredibly profound. Very few people know about this, and that is the concept of parallel realities.
Okay.
So there are, because God is, the nature of God is infinite, when he chose to create, his expression filtered through his creation. Mm-hmm. So if the nature of God is infinite, creation is infinite, that means realities are also infinite.
Good point.
So what we look at as one reality is actually billions of realities happening simultaneously all at one time, and we're constantly shifting in and out of each one. We only think it's the same because your mindset is the same or very similar from moment to moment. So we're constantly creating a similar frequency. Therefore, we're putting ourselves in realities that justify that specific mindset. So if you want to change the world, it's not you changing something outside of you. It's you changing yourself inside of you. And that basically tweaks the radio inside of you to become more harmonious, more loving, more compassionate. And then what happens is the consciousness has to be shifted to a reality that justifies the adjustment you've made in yourself. And so you don't fix the world, you fix you. And then reality sends you to one of the other coexisting parallel realities that look very similar to ours, but has different outcomes that are more indicative of the change you've made in yourself.
Beautiful. Yeah, you've said it perfectly. And I was going to say too, Mahatma Gandhi always used to say, be the change that you wish to see in the world within yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
When I started noticing a lot of bad things, I automatically do house cleaning in myself. I start to say, okay, I'm seeing injustices. That means there's an injustice in me, because the world can only reflect back what I give it to see.
Beautiful. That's right. Absolutely.
So I know that, okay, I got to meditate more now, because I'm starting to see this. And you know what? When I start doing that, I see a difference. I start seeing more kinder people, harmonious situations, more opportunities that are beneficial and benevolent. It really does work. I did this one time when I got a speeding ticket. And I kept saying to myself, I kept seeing the judge say, the cop is in here, I'm letting this go. And when I went there, that's what happened. And then he postponed it. And then the second time I did it again for a month, I just kept saying it every day. And I just focused on it and I believed it. When I went in the second time, the judge says, I don't know, he's never not here. And this is the second time he's not here. All the other cops to all the other cases are here. Well, I'm just going to just toss this because he isn't showing up anymore. So, and I got out of it. So
good for you. Good for you. And I know, and I can tell from the tone of your voice, you were completely innocent. Complete.
Of course I was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or you had a good excuse. Like, you know, you were just going to church on a Sunday and you had to get to Mass and the priest ordered you to and you had to get there quickly. Or, who knows, you know, your girlfriend was pregnant and you were taken to the hospital. Lots of reasons why. So, I mean,
there's three ways you get out of a ticket. One, you have a hot blonde with big tits in the car with you. Two, you're a policeman or a security guard and you got your uniform on. Or you got a lawyer in the car with you. That's the three ways you get out of it.
That's funny.
Going back to what I was saying before, that's how you change the world. Is when you change yourself, there is already an environment that matches the frequency you've changed in yourself that you put yourself in,
right,
simply by, you know, vibrating it. So it's not one reality you're stuck with.
Right.
You're constantly moving in and out of them. And one reality could be so similar that all the only difference is you make a left turn instead of a right. And everything else is identical.
Right.
And then another excessive extreme to the other end where Hitler won the war.
Right.
And everything is different in that way. And then there's every possible variation between those two examples.
Right. Right. So
it's really hard for people to wrap their head around that, thinking that I'm actually moving in and out of realities every moment. Mm-hmm. But it's true. So that's why, you know, all the great masters throughout history all have, it doesn't matter what lineage, what religion, they all say the same thing. Is the truth is within you. Change yourself within. God is within you.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is always about within, within, within. Well, how do you get within? Yoga meditation.
Right, right. A good point, Lenny. On a larger scale, as you know, there's been some incidents recently, some unfortunate incidents in, I know in Europe, some what they say terrorist attacks. I think a lot of these are false flags, and we're not being told the whole truth about them. What do you think about those events?
An insider CIA informant actually had come out and said that all terrorist attacks are false flag, or either created by the government or funded and instigated by the government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because most people under normal circumstances don't do half the things that they do. One way to know it's every day, all the time. 9/11 was that way. Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, the Florida nightclub incident. You know, you can name them. There's so many. And the irony is our country is so intimidated by Muslims and all this nonsense. People don't even realize that some of the head of the ISIS people are Israeli Mossad agents.
Well, I agree with you. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to tell you, Lenny, that we usually don't allow swearing on the air. So I know you said it, but it's okay. It's all right. That's okay. Just for emphasis, that's okay. That's fine. I know that that there are some negative. There are some negative elements out there in the world, but I don't think they're going to be successful. I think the tide has changed and that things are getting much better on the planet, and I think we have a very bright and beautiful future ahead of us.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the more change you do to yourself, the more you'll see outside of yourself.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, these terrorist attacks and all this, you know, especially when you see a reoccurring theme on the news over and over, like the Russia thing, they're always talking about Russia 24/7. That automatically means it's nonsense, because if something were really, truly a big deal, it would talk about it for a little bit, and then it would have it would run on its own steam, but there is no steam behind the Russia thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think I think it's definitely a false flag. I know that on my way down here to Costa Rica, the various airports transferred at, they had the mass media news on, and all they had on were these hearings with Comey, I think his name is, the former FBI director, talking about his Russia investigation. And I said, well, that's a waste of time, because I don't think they're going to find anything. I don't think they're going to find anything, and I think it's a distraction for the public so they don't think about the real issues affecting the U.S. and the world.
The real issues that affect us are never on the news, right? Because the real issues empowers humanity. It doesn't take away from humanity.
Right.
You know, you never see a commercial about broccoli or yoga or going to the gym. You see, you know, things about McDonald's or vaccines or pharmaceuticals or cars. Mm-hmm. All these excessive outward materialistic focus to keep you distracted outside of you so you don't focus inside of you.
Right. Right.
And that's why I tell people all the time, if you really, in a world full of different opinions, how do you know what the truth is? It's very simple. Sure. You simply listen to what the mainstream media is saying and believe the opposite.
Right, right, right. Well, one thing I've been told by my spirit friends on the other side is to always trust your heart mind, what your heart mind says. That's not your logical mind between your two ears. It's the mind of your heart, which is far more powerful and far more accurate. And as Professor Einstein has said many times, love is the most important and powerful force in the universe. So if you meditate and tie into your heart mind, you can find answers to almost anything you like an answer to, and it's accurate and it's always true.
Yeah. It's spiritual powers or consciousness is just like a muscle. You have to exercise it. You have to work at it. And that's why I tell people, when you get involved, if your goal is to become a bodybuilder, you can't lift weights once a week and expect results like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You got to do it 5-6 times a week. If you want to be a spiritual master or achieve the highest levels of realization, you have to meditate every day, like in the morning and night, as much as you can, because the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. It's like everything else in life.
Old saying goes, practice makes perfect.
Yeah, and also I tell people, do it on an empty stomach, because what happens is when you're focusing, consciousness can go up or down in one direction at any given moment. So if you're focusing on eating, it's going down to digest. But if you want to focus on expanding consciousness, magnetizing the spine, opening the chakras, sending the kundalini to the pineal gland, you have to not eat, because then there's nothing for the energy in your body to do in the lower part of you, so you can direct it easier mentally up the body to the brain.
Beautiful. That's great advice. Thank you.
Yes. And eat according to the rainbow, because each color has its own rays that stimulate a different chakra in the body.
Really? Well, tell me a little bit more about that, Lenny.
Well, for instance, you have at the bottom the root chakra, which is red.
Okay.
That's identified more with basic sleeping, eating, survival. And then orange, which is the sexual chakra. It's opposite of the groin, where the spine is. And then you got the yellow one at the stomach. And then the heart chakra is the green chakra, which is love. Blue chakra in the throat, which is voice, mantras, sound. If you remember in the beginning of the Bible, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Well, what is Word? God spoke reality into existence, because all of existence is made up of light and sound, photon and phonon frequencies for cellular upregulation or cellular maintenance. So the entire atomic structure of our bodies are made of sound and light.
Beautiful.
So that's why yogis and Tibetan Buddhists, they chant Om and all that, because Om was said to be the original sound that emanated from the infinite, mm-hmm, out into the universe. And that frequency, part of it, subdivided itself and became the subatomic particles, the atom, the electrons, the neutrons, and then the other half of it multiplied on the galactic level to become the planets and the stars. So that is how the Word became flesh, how the Word became the universe. And it basically, some of that frequency slowed down, coagulated, became what we identify as matter. If you pull those frequencies further apart, you have liquid. Pull it further more apart, you have gas. Further apart, then it's beyond the ability of light to reflect back on your retina, becomes spirit.
Beautiful, beautiful. You have so much profound wisdom. I appreciate you so much for sharing it, Lenny. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so the top chakra is like the purple and the blue colors.
Right.
Every time you're eating like red cabbage, blueberries, any produce that's purple or reddish color,
right,
you're stimulating those higher chakras because those are identified with them. And if you look those up online, they're ironically tied in with higher neurological functioning. Blueberries increase brain strength and brain health. So the, being healthy physically is tied in with being more spiritual, because the healthier the body is, the less pain and aches can distract the mind when you're trying to focus.
Beautiful, beautiful. I know that water, for example, in blue bottles gets, and you put it in the sun, gets energized in a special way, much better way than even clear glass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, same with crystals. If you take crystals, you can charge them by putting them out in the sun. You'll get the male energy or the yang. Leave them outside. And if you want them to get the female energy, the yin energy, you put them out during the moon cycle, or you bury them in the ground. And that way it balances out both male and female energies in the crystal structure.
Wow. Thank you. I learned something else today.
We're always learning.
We're always
paying attention.
We're always learning. That's right. Lenny, we got about 6 minutes left. Okay. Are there any particular topics you'd like to focus in on?
Yes. A lot of these people in the world are worried about wanting to have peace on Earth.
Right.
Okay. They want everyone to get along. The way to do that is a lot of what we've been talking about, which is they want the perfect utopia by thinking they can change the outside, by changing governments, by changing presidents, by having physical violent revolts, by having different laws or different, so instead of capitalism, socialism, all these are nothing more than different modifications of human farming, because there's always a ruling elite that's basically managing all of it.
Right.
I tell people, you need the government at this point because people as a whole are not sufficiently spiritually developed enough to be trusted to be acting out on their own alone. That's why you get crazy people and doing strange things, because there's an imbalance in those people because they're not spiritually developed. The only thing that's going to save the world is spirituality, because the reason why you see all the chaos and the craziness is a demonstration and a reflection of a lack of spirituality. Because when you are spiritual, you're naturally loving, you're naturally kind, you naturally want to serve humanity selflessly. These are natural attributes off of a spiritual person. So when you see that not happening, it shows that there's a deprivation of spirituality in the culture. A lot of people want to basically group spirituality in with organized religion. They're not the same thing. You can get to spirituality from organized religion as a base, but most people stay at organized religion once they get into it because of the dogma.
Right.
However, if you choose to use that as a starting point, and then go from organized religion into spirituality, then you will, it's kind of like going from kindergarten to college. You're moving up. So if people start to slowly learn more about their physiology and how it's tied in with their consciousness, then people will on their own start acting more benevolent and kind and loving, and universal brotherhood will ensue, but not before. Because otherwise, all you're going to do is the same thing, which is basically, government gets out of control. There's a small group of people that that don't agree with it. They form a rebellion. They fight back. They beat the establishment. The rebels become the new establishment. Sooner or later, that becomes corrupt. Then a small group breaks out of that, gets mad with, then they have a rebellion on that group, and then that becomes the new rebellion. It's an insane cycle. It's basically the definition of insanity. You're not going to get it by a different president. You're only going to get it by you meditating, you eating, your changing your diet, and you as an individual can change yourself. And if enough people do this, then the collective whole of humanity will change. But if you try to do it the other way, you're going to keep getting the same stuff, because people aren't doing it that way.
Right. Well, one of the messages that I've gotten, I wanted to run this by you, Lenny, is that we will still have a government in the future, but it'll become less important because people will know how to regulate their behavior among themselves. So the regulatory devices and the need for laws to control us will not be as necessary in the future as some people perceive they are now.
Exactly. Government is only in existence at the level of influence it has because the people don't want to manage themselves because they give into body identification with ego. So they feel their separation, feel they have to walk on others to get ahead. And you get rid of that by focusing more on the spiritual, because the body naturally wants to do what's right, and then you don't need all these regulations and rules and tyranny and dictatorships. And by the way, the people that end up being the leaders are often the weakest, because those, you always want what you don't have. So if your intention is always power, it basically shows you're powerless, because the truly powerful don't need it.
So very true. That's very true.
You know, Mussolini, right. Hitler, Obama, any of these people right. at the top are weak.
Right.
You know, a truly powerful person is a holy person. They get away from the limelight. They don't want the attention.
Correct.
Because their ego is, you know, it's totally tamed.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, Lenny, you have so many words of wisdom, and I'm so happy that you could come on today. We've got about a minute left, and I want to thank you so much. Our next hour, we'll be talking to Ray Zukowski, a hypnotherapist who does time travel for his help with people. And with that, Lenny, I want to give you the rest of the time. We've got about a minute left to wrap up your beautiful interview today.
Okay. If anybody is interested in pyramids, the stuff, prana pyramids that I make and pucks, you can get on facebook.com/prana, P-R-A-N-A, devices, D-E-V-I-C-E, and you can PM me there about them. I make a variety of different colors and Russian and Egyptian-style geometry ones. If you're interested in the music that I do, I go on to... cdbaby.com, cdbaby.com/LENNYREVELL. And then the next CD is the same URL address with the number 2 at the end. Wonderful. So that differentiates both.
Wonderful. Well, Lenny, thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. I really enjoyed talking to you today. You had so much wisdom.
You're welcome. And thank you. I hope to talk to you again.
Okay, you will. I'd love to have you on again. And Eric, could you play Imagine by John Lennon if that's all right? Below us, above us, only sky.